Congressman, you've been very kind to join us today here at Secure Freedom Radio. We're grateful to you for doing so, and we're taking advantage of you, I know, a little bit to ask you to spend one more minute on this business of healthcare. But can you give us a sense from your firsthand experiences over a torturous weekend of what went on and what it means for all Americans going forward?
Sure, Frank. Well, Frank, first, thank you so much for having me on your show and program, and I appreciate it. And certainly, there was a tremendous amount of angst on the House floor last night. The health care bill pushed by Obama, Pelosi, and Reid passed narrowly. It is a bill that is a $1 trillion spending bill with $500 million worth of increased taxes and fees and $500 million cut to Medicare, a program that is already headed toward insolvency. And the American people are smart. They know you can't take $500 billion out of a program that's headed toward insolvency and make it more solvent. Of those $500 billion in cuts to Medicare, you know, an over $200 billion cut occurs to Medicare Advantage, which is going to result in lowered care for seniors. And the surprise that's going to be moving forward, as the fees are collected over the next 4 years before actual coverage kicks in 4 years later, is that, you know, a lot of the American people have been led by this president to believe that that coverage is imminent when it's actually 4 years away. And two, they've been led to believe it will not change their doctor-patient relationship, and it will, and that they'll be able to keep the coverage that they currently have. And for Medicare Advantage seniors, they're going to see significant changes that occur. This is going to be a process that, as this bill, the 2,000 pages of this bill, begin to be implemented by this administration, that the American people are going to become aware of the ways in which it's going to impact their lives and their health care.
Yeah. You did not vote for it, as was indeed the case with all Republicans. This now moves to the Senate. I know we'll see a lot more thrashing going on here. The challenge for all of us, I guess, is to ensure that what we care about so much here at Secure Freedom Radio is good governance doesn't continue to manifest itself in the kind of debacle that we saw over the past couple of days. And I just personally want to salute you and your colleagues for all the efforts you made to try to spare us this travesty. And we hope you'll continue to do so to the best of your ability. But let's segue, if we can, Congressman Turner. You are the ranking member, that is to say, the senior Republican on a critically important subcommittee of the House Armed Services Committee, that responsible for our strategic forces. You had an oversight hearing last week. I read your opening remarks. Was very impressed by the command that you obviously bring to this very important subject. And it frustrates me no end that there are too few members of either the House or the Senate, really, who have given this most weighty of national security challenges, namely, how do we assure the continued viability of the arsenal that arguably is the single most important element of our security, its guarantor, namely our nuclear deterrent, that this is not taken more seriously by more of your colleagues. And I just wanted to say, as we go to another clip here very quickly of the president talking at the United Nations in September of last year, the kind of agenda that you are up against as you try to take this seriously. 2207, Tim.
We will pursue a new agreement with Russia to substantially reduce our strategic warheads and launchers. We will move forward with ratification of the Test Ban Treaty and work with others to bring the treaty into force so that nuclear testing is permanently prohibited. We will complete a nuclear posture review that opens the door to deeper cuts and reduces the role of nuclear weapons.
Now, Congressman Turner, that's a sweeping agenda. And my concern, as I said, is that we're in a situation where we've seen this kind of Captain Ahab-like fixation of Moby Dick fame with one agenda item, namely health care reform, now giving rise to this problem that you so well characterized a moment ago. And here we come into conceivably an equally problematic, if not even more dangerous, fixation with eliminating all nuclear weapons. As you see it from your vantage point on the Strategic Forces Subcommittee, do you fear that we may see the president through these various agenda items inexorably disarming the United States at a time when everybody else is going to remain, if not as armed as they are today, certainly possibly more so.
Well, I certainly have some serious concerns about the manner in which the president has pursued his statement of a world without nuclear weapons. You know, we all have, as a human value statement, a desire that the world be free of nuclear weapons. But, you know, there is also, of course, the reality portion of that we understand that there are bad actors in the world who wish to hurt both us and others, who are currently pursuing nuclear weapons, and some of which who have nuclear weapons. The problem is that the president goes beyond the human value statement of, you know, a world without human without nuclear weapons, like we would all like to say, a world without crime, as a human value statement. And he translates it into what is actually policy for this administration. And the concern about policy is from policy, then it gets translated into a to-do list, and that to-do list then impacts our very national security. And you are absolutely right that our nuclear weapons are very important in the prospect of deterrence, not just in preventing others from using nuclear weapons, but also in preventing others from seeking to do harm to the United States, from challenging the United States or attacking the United States. But there is this, I think, an incorrect assumption on the part of the administration that if the United States somehow demonstrates a commitment to reduce our nuclear arsenal, that others will not pursue nuclear weapons or, in fact, abandon their current pursuit for nuclear weapons. Well, we can look to current history and know that that isn't true. I mean, the United States has for decades now been in the process of reducing its overall nuclear stockpile, both weapons that are in stockpile, those weapons are deployed, so has the Soviet Union. And during that period of time, we've seen North Korea, Iran, and others pursue the nuclear weapons technology or nuclear weapons programs. So the nexus that he seeks of saying that the United States, by showing its commitment to reducing and perhaps, you know, with the president making this human value statement of eliminating them, will cause other people to act differently, I just don't believe it's going to occur.
Yeah, well, we're talking with Congressman Mike Turner. There's actually no evidence at all that it will occur. And this is, a flight of fancy, I'm afraid, at best. And at worst, it's really a very dangerous strategy indeed. And we're going to pause for just a moment, Congressman, with your indulgence. When we come back, we're going to talk with you about the vehicle through which some of this seems most immediately to be in play, specifically a follow-on to the so-called START treaty that we were told is coming any day now. It's been coming any day now for a couple of months, but no kidding, I guess it's coming any day now. And we're going to ask you, based on the hearing you had the other day and the research that you've been doing, the oversight you have commendably been conducting on the House Armed Services Committee, what can we expect? How bad will it be for all of us? We're joined for this segment again, I'm happy to say, by Congressman Mike Turner, the senior Republican on the Strategic Forces Subcommittee of the House Armed Services Committee, a man who has it as his responsibility, and I'm happy to say he takes it very seriously, to conduct real oversight of our nuclear deterrent. And Congressman, before the break, we teased the idea of this Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, the follow-on that the Obama administration has been negotiating. There are a number of elements that I believe will be part of this new agreement that strike me as deeply problematic. And if I could ask you just to sort of give us a sense of your attitude towards several of those elements. Let's start with the idea that as part of the president's desire, as we talked about earlier, to reduce not only the numbers of nuclear weapons, but the role of nuclear weapons, there seems to be a bit of a conflict because on the one hand, that would seemingly require an increased emphasis on conventional forces. And on the other, we're being told that so-called global strike conventional capabilities are likely to be captured or at least constricted in some way by this treaty. What are you hearing on that, and do you have concerns about it?
Yes, I do have concerns. And, you know, we're hearing out of the administration that announcements concerning START are imminent. We're certainly going to be looking at it very carefully. To go back to the issue of the role, you know, one of the concerns I think that we all have is that, you know, this administration, based on their stated policy of the human value of going to zero nuclear weapons in the world, has translated into a to-do list, a policy, an actual policy, even though it is not based on reality, where they're willing to look at the U.S. numbers and role of our nuclear weapons. The role part is also concerning because we don't have a shift in threat that has occurred in the world. In fact, in the hearing that we had, you know, the information that Congress receives indicates that the threat to the U.S. is, in fact, increasing. The number of countries that have pursued missile technology, pursuing nuclear weapons, is an increasing phenomenon, not a decreasing phenomenon.
Right.
So to shift the role is certainly not threat-based. The other issues become that, you know, it is a significant part of the overall the national security of our country, and for the president to diminish its role, I believe certainly increases our overall risk in light of our increasing threat. The other issue is of conventional. You know, the Russians have made it very clear that they would like NSTART for, in addition to our nuclear weapons, to include conventional and to also include missile defense. These are things that Congress has been adamant about not including, and that you know, START needs to be remain focused as it is, you know, on our ICBM and the triad nuclear weapons that we have that actually threaten each other.
Yeah, and that, I guess, is the heart of the matter, is if we accede to the Russians' efforts to capture lots of capabilities that we arguably will need even more, like missile defense and maybe conventional long-range strike, in an environment where we have fewer nuclear weapons, it seems, again, reckless in the extreme. Another aspect of this, Congressman Mike
Frank,
Turner.
Well, I could also add to this.
Yeah.
The other fallacy in this, in the policy that the administration is pursuing, is that it is just, you know, that the world's threats are still just U.S. and Russian.
Right.
You know, the fact that we now have threats from North Korea, threats from Iran, and the way that we have to now look
at China?
The world, and as China continues to emerge with its military strength and investment into its military infrastructure, mm-hmm. This administration is looking at the world too narrowly as they look at just an agreement with the Russians as defining really the role of our strategic assets.
Right. There's the rub. It is looking at it too narrowly, and in a number of different respects, I would suggest. Let me just touch on two others very quickly that are related. The president has signaled that he seeks to reduce the role of nuclear weapons. One way of doing that is by changing our declaratory policy, which is to say that we're no longer using these weapons to deter any kind of active aggression, but only nuclear war. And this has implications for a host of allies that we have long had under what we call the umbrella of our extended deterrence. And more to the point, we've discourage them from having their own nuclear weapons capabilities by trying to assure them that they can safely rely upon ours. Do you fear that what we will wind up doing with this kind of effort to reduce our forces on the one hand, constrict our other relevant capabilities on the other, and on the third hand, I guess, collapse the umbrella of extended deterrence, actually make the world a lot less safe and more likely to involve nuclear proliferation than even what we've seen to date?
I think you have an excellent point. And that point really is that the United States backs off of its commitment to an umbrella where we are stating that our nuclear weapons are as a part of our overall assets when we look to protecting allies, that those allies become greater a greater concern about their own safety and whether or not they need their own arsenals. Certainly, if you look at, you know, what has happened with Iran, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, others are beginning to wonder about you know, what their security is, whether or not they should be pursuing nuclear weapons. Similarly, as you look into Asia. You have the same question and response as people look to North Korea. And if people begin to assume that the United States is no longer asserting its status, they will be making different decisions, and that is contrary to the president's goal of zero, because it would actually encourage individuals to pursue.
And contrary to our security, indeed. Congressman Mike Turner, thank you so much for an excellent tour de raison, as they say, of the nuclear posture and what you're trying to do on the House Armed Services Committee. I hope you'll come back often and keep us abreast of what you are trying to do and how important it is.